surround me with soul. I've delivered from my enemies till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. No longer a slave to fear. Isn't that a powerful word tonight? I thank God for His faithfulness. I thank God for His presence here. I have a simple word for us tonight. Before we get to that word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I come boldly into the throne of grace and declare this day that I belong to you and that your people belong to you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We bless your holy name, and we say, Lord, have your way. You, the God who sees us, do with us great and mighty things even now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for you tonight. I want to thank God for His loving kindness and His tender mercies. I want to thank God because He has a word, a permanent word for you and I. This morning, we talked about Caleb and Joshua. We were reminded once again about how Caleb said that he was still young and capable. Reminded about Joshua. Joshua that was the armor bearer of Moses. God saying about Joshua, you are old and stricken in age. And you've not covered all the ground. We talked about the fact that we just need one word from God and to hold steadfastly to it. God consistently reminded Joshua to meditate on the word of God. And our conclusion this morning was this, that we as God's people need to remind ourselves about what God has already spoken, need to remind ourselves about the fact that God, in His loving kindness and tender mercies, is infusing us with His character and with His person. So what does that mean? What that means is this, simply. You know, dogs give birth to dogs. We may call them puppies, but they are dogs. And goats give birth to goats. You may call them kids, but that's exactly what they are, goats. Sheep give birth to lambs, but they really are giving birth to sheep. God, when He gave birth to you, He gave birth to Himself, the God kind. And if we, as God's people, remind ourselves about that, it will change how we think and how we approach life. But tonight, that's not going to be my focus. Tonight, I want to come to you with a word that the Lord has a burning in my spirit for us for this evening. I believe that this word is for somebody. If it's not for you, it's for me. But I know it is for somebody because the Lord has been addressing this particular statement over and over and over again. It is found in the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter. This is an interesting chapter because this is a chapter that something rather strange happened. The Bible starts out by talking about Sarai, Abraham's wife, and says about her that she bore no children. She was barren, in essence, incapable, at least at that very moment, to bear fruit. And so she tries to find a solution to this problem. She loved the husband, and she wanted to give the husband an heir. God had been speaking and saying to Abraham that he was going to have a child, but a child they did not see. It seemed like God was failing in His promise. And so many times, that's where we find ourselves. We've heard something from God, and we're waiting to see it manifest. But we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And we say, man, use your brains. Find your solution. And so it was that she looked around, and she found one of her maids, a young lady called Hagar. She comes to Abraham and says to Abraham, Behold, now the Lord had restrained me from bearing. He's restrained me from bearing. And what is that all about? She might have looked at her history and found that there's nobody in my family line is barren. It is God who's doing this to me. And I can prove it. I'm going to take this woman here, Hagar, and that name means flight. You see, sometimes we want to attach to things that will take flight from our lives or create problems in our life. Hagar means flight. And she gives this Egyptian woman to the husband as a wife. In short order, Hagar has a baby. When you've been trying and trying and praying and believing and you come up with a plan B and the plan B works. Wow, what was I waiting for? I could have done this a long time ago. But the interesting thing about it is that in verse 4, the Bible says that this young lady that conceived, it says, and when she saw that she had conceived, when Hagar saw and knew that she was pregnant, her mistress was despised in her eyes. She said, looking down at Sarah. Isn't that incredible? That what you thought was going to be the answer now becomes a problem to you. And Hagar, while despising Sarai, which means princess, Sarai, goes to the husband and says, okay, Abraham, this is all your fault. This is your fault. Abraham says, Sarah says unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And like most men, Abraham is confused. You know, men, we don't understand women. We're clueless. And I can see Abraham scratching his head and says, what did I do? You offered me the woman as a wife with your permission. She's pregnant. Now I'm the problem. Yes, you're the problem because you're not speaking about this situation and addressing Hagar and saying, listen, pipe down. This is my wife. Because you're pregnant does not mean that you come here and start abusing her. No, she didn't say any such thing. And so the Bible says, Abraham says to Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Yeah, you may have called her my wife, but she's your maid. Deal with her the way you please. Sounds like men. We know how to cop out. And I'm not in this. You women, you ladies, deal with your problem. Has nothing to do with me. Okay, please leave me out of this. We're quick to cut and run. So Sarah says, okay, thank you very much, sir. And begins to manhandle or womanhandle this Hagar woman and terrorizes her. Terrorizes her until she really answered her name. She took flight. She takes off. She fled from the face of Sarah. She takes off and says, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord found her while she was running away by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. This is where this angel finds this young lady and stops and asks her simply, "What's going on, lady?" You see, let me back up a moment here in verse 7 again. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Shur means a wall, a barricade, a stopping point, a point of limitation. She's taking off and she's heading towards a wall. And the angel comes to her and says, "What's going on with you?" And she says, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. I'm running." And the angel says to her, "Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." You blew this. You see, sometimes people are given opportunities to do certain things and they go beyond where they are supposed to step, all of a sudden become arrogant and proud. This is leading to the real message. I'm just painting a picture coming to where I need to come to today. Because really what I want to talk to you about is this, that God sees you. God sees me. God sees us. Hagar was in the wrong. For trying to be condescending towards the princess, her mistress, Sarai, because she's pregnant. She has something that she doesn't have. But she is the one that has the promise of God. Sarah has been promised by God that she was going to have a child. And it seemed like there was a delay. And she came up with our option, a plan B. When plan Bs try to take charge and think that they are it, plan A will come up and put a stop to it. If plan A, meaning Sarai, knows who she is. And basically, what Abraham did was to say to Sarah, "Sarai, take your place. Know who you are. Know what you are about. Deal with this problem." And that's what the angel was still saying. "Listen, go back and deal with the problem you create." You know, child of God, let me say something to you right now. Whatever problem you've created in your life, you got to deal with. There are too many people that are busy running. And I tell you what, you are going to run towards shore, towards a wall, a place of limitation, and the purpose of God for your life will be halted. You need to return and deal with a problem that you have generated. I don't know who I'm talking to right this very moment, but God is saying to somebody right now, you have created a mess, deal with it. Go back, deal with it. Because running isn't going to solve your problem. It's not. Submit thyself unto her hands. Let her deal with you. In verse 10, goes on and says that the angel of the Lord said unto her, I promise you something. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. You may have done something bad, but I see something great coming out of this bad situation. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Why? The seed from the man that I have declared blessed is in your womb. That's the reason. Your greatness is in that which you have been connected to. I've seen so many through the years who have disconnected from the blessing and forgot that the blessing that they are operating in and with was because of who they were connected to. The seed that's in you is great because it comes from a father called Abraham. Who is Abraham? The next verse says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. You have a child and shall bear a son. If you didn't know it, this is a boy that you're carrying. You know, think about it. Some 4,000 or 5,000 years back, they didn't have, you know, anything to test, find out whether it's a male or female. You didn't know until you gave birth. But the angel comes and says, you're carrying a child, and this child is a son. That's very specific. And shall call his name. You're going to call his name Ishmael. That's the name of this child, Ishmael. But Ishmael is going to have a very particular experience. You're going to call his name Ishmael. Now, think about this for a moment. Ishmael. What is this all about, Ishmael? Ishmael means God's will. Will be heard. God's will be heard. God's will be heard. In other words, God will hear. God will hear. That's what Ishmael means. Ishmael. God will hear. He will hear your cry. He will hear what you are going through. He will see what you are experiencing, and God's will be made manifest in your life. Why? Because God hears. Hallelujah. Now, we're coming close to where I want to get us to by the Spirit of the living God in just a moment. The Word of God says, because the Lord had heard thy affliction. He'd heard what problems you've been going through. Whether those problems were generated by you or not, God sees and he hears what has been afflicting you. And right now, I want to say to somebody, God knows what you're going through. Other people may not know, but God knows. He knows your situation. He knows how you got to this situation, and he wants to help you correct it. Don't stay stuck where you are in an arrogant mindset, but humble thyself to address this situation you've created for yourself. Do you know the amazing thing about this passage of scripture? Is that she goes back to Sarah, and when she humbled herself before Sarah, Sarah did not keep on tormenting her. The affliction that she was experiencing had been generated by her bad attitude, her arrogant mindset. We go on and we see something else. In verse 12, he says, "He will be a wild man." That's Ishmael. He's going to be a wild man. "His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Verse 13. Here we come. "And she called the name of the Lord." She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God sees me." God, you see me. And that's exactly what the Lord wants me to say to you tonight. He sees you just the way you are. He sees you, and God is talking with you. Say, "I'm not worthy. I am not this, I am not that." God sees you. Why? A seed is inside of you. I'm talking to somebody right this very moment that is backsliding in your walk with God. You are a used to be. And God is saying, "My seed is in you. And I see you. And I have a plan and a purpose for your life. You need to return. And whoever it is that you are today, I am calling you by the authority of the word of God to return back to God." He sees you, and he sees you with all of your issues, and he wants to deal with you, issues and all. Doesn't matter. He wants to deal with you. This is the grace of God. This is the mercy of God. This is the goodness of God being released into your life this very moment. God saying, "I see you. Hagar, recognize that." He says, "Thou God sees me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? God, you've allowed me to see you?" Yeah. "You've allowed me to hear you? I've been rebellious. I've been doing all kinds of crazy things. And you are letting me see you?" And God says, "Yes. I see you, and you get to see me. See me as your God, the God who loves you, who cares for you, who understands you, the God who will make certain that the child that you are bearing experiences fullness of life. I am going to turn this situation around. I'm going to turn it around." And the word of God tells us that that's exactly what happened. It says in verse 14, "Wherefore the well was called Bel-Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh." Kadesh means holy. "And Bered," to hail. She was in between two spots, place of hailing, the place of holiness, separated unto God. But that's not where you need to continue to stay, child of God. Every one of us needs to move from the place of being in between and making a decision to follow through with God with all of our hearts, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. He says, and Hagar bore Abraham his son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bore Ishmael. The angel said, you Hagar, you're going to call him Ishmael. The same God who spoke to Hagar and said, you're going to call your son's name Ishmael, spoke also to Abraham and says, his name is Ishmael. God will hear. God will hear your affliction. And so it was that this child was born, and the Bible says, and Abraham was 86 years old. This morning we talked about Caleb that was 85 years old. Here he is, Abraham at 86, and Abraham is giving birth to a child, has a son at this old age. The child grows up. And God honored his word. Some 14 years later, 14, Abraham's Sarah gets her own son, Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 21, the Bible tells us, recounts this story. The same spirit that was on Hagar is now on Ishmael. And Ishmael is busy teasing Sarah's son. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. She conceived and bore Abraham's son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. I don't want to go to that whole story right now, but at the set time that God spoke. You see, there's always that set time. One of the things that you and I need to consider is the power of inquiring of God. You know, sometimes God says certain things to us, and because we don't inquire, we fail to be patient. There are so many things God has spoken to me about my life through the years. And sometimes I thought it was going to happen like yesterday. And yesterday was 10 years ago. Yesterday was 20 years ago. Yesterday was 30 years ago. It's not happened yet. So I have to go to God and say, what's going on? There is a set time. There is a set time. You see, because this is the deal. When God gives you a promise, and you, by your own fault or mistake or sinful ways or whatever, as it was also in the case of Abraham, because Abraham delayed the birth of this son. You say, how did he do it? While he was busy calling his wife the sister. During the time of a famine, how are you going to have a child when you're calling your wife your sister? Abraham did his due diligence to delay the process, but God had given his word already that he was going to have that child. And guess what? God made good of his word. So how did he do it? When Abraham met with the angel says, at the fullness of time, I'm going to come back. And the child, your wife is going to have a child. And when you look at the message that is being portrayed, you find out that what happened was that God himself made himself that child that opened the womb of Sarah. It was almost like Jesus coming through Sarah's womb. That might be too much for some of you to handle, but this is the reality. Because you see, if God gives you a promise, he will make certain that that promise is fulfilled. No matter what it takes, God will not fail. And therefore, he's able to ask Abraham for that son to be on the altar of sacrifice. I want you to sacrifice that son, because that son was representing him. Wow. He did the same thing with David. David, you are going to always have a son on the throne. And when man failed, God made himself the son of David to keep his word. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying God will keep his word to you. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. He will keep his word. You can hold steadfastly to that word, the word that God has given to you, and recognize that if God said it, God will bring it to pass by himself. At the set time, he had that son. But that son of Hagar was now mocking Sarah's son. When Sarah saw that, she said, okay, woman, you're out of here. The Bible says, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. When did this happen? When she was busy mocking. She could have stayed there. Sarah had no problem with it. But there was something that Hagar was doing that got Ishmael to start acting out, belittling Sarah's son, Isaac. Today I declare to you in the name of Jesus that there's not going to be any competition concerning that which God has ordained and promised you. Everything that is contrary must be cast away, must be removed from your view. In Jesus' mighty name. Still, does God throw Hagar and Ishmael away completely? No. This was a seed of Abraham. The Bible says, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. He'd received this man, this young man, as his son. And Sarah, you're telling me to send my son away? I can't do this. But what does God say? The Bible says, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This is the one that I've chosen for you, and this one is going to carry full impact, and your seed are going to be blessed through him. Ishmael is Ishmael. I'm going to bless him. But the real blessing is through this son here. He says, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Because he is thy seed. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to make him a great nation. Because he is your seed. But the promise is coming through Isaac. Did you know that Ishmael had 12 tribes? That's right. 12 tribes came out of Ishmael. Just the same like he did with Isaac through Jacob. Watch this as I begin to wrap. The Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread, a bottle of water, gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. No direction. This is what happens when a mocking spirit comes upon people and they mock what God is trying to do. But God has already spoken, Ishmael. God will hear. That's his name. God will hear. His history started in a very interesting way. But God is God, and he's committed to his word. Please, if you forget anything, don't forget that. God is committed to his word. And he turns bad situations and flips them around. So here comes Abraham. Abraham puts a bottle of water on the shoulder of this young woman, gives her bread, and sends her away. Gives her some stuff, and sends her away. The Bible says the water was spent in the bottle, and she casts the child under one of the shrubs, and she walks away. She went and sat her down over against him a good way off. She left the son. Why? And how far? It says, as it were a bow shot. That's some distance. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Would you want to see the next verse? She's the one weeping, but the Bible says, and God heard the voice of the lad. God heard the voice of the lad that was not crying. Because his name is God will hear, and God had promised. And when God gave the promise, he made certain that that promise will not fail. And I want you to know tonight that the promises that God has bestowed and spoken into your life will not fail. They won't. God will keep his word. Let all men be liars, but God remain true. You shall not die from this sickness. I don't know who that is that I'm talking to right now. I say to you right now, you will not die from this sickness that everybody thinks you're going to die from. You are not going to die from this sickness. God has not finished with you. God will heal and restore you. Even now, by the authority of the word of God, I declare restoration for you. The promises of God are forever, yes and amen. Be revived by the authority of the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is, where you left him. I see you, Hagar. I see you. And God is saying the same thing to you right now. He sees you. And the problem that you think you're leaving behind, that God has already pronounced a blessing on, He's saying, I'm going to revive that thing. That promise, that mistake might be a business venture. I hear that. A business venture that is failing. And God says, I see, I hear, and I'll revive it. I don't know what it is that has failed. Whatever it is that you had built up with your own ability, thinking that that was the answer to all the issues in your life. And here comes COVID. And now what all those investments are falling apart. And God is saying, you may have started wrong. I want you to correct it. I want you to trust you. I want you to trust me to bring life to this thing that is dying right now. There are men and women that need to begin to fall on their faces right now in repentance and recognize that it is God who has been meeting all of their needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You, with your business ideas, you've been mocking the purpose of God and it is falling apart now. God says, I know. But I already said I was going to bless you. I know. I see you. And I promise I'm going to bless you. I'm going to revive this thing. You see, the word of God goes on and it says the next verse. Listen to this now. It says, arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Take a hold of that which you have left to die. Take a hold of it. But God, the history I've had with this thing has not been a good one. And God says, I know. But I'm in it now because I love you. I see you. God sees you. God sees you with all of your faults. He sees you. With all of your issues, He still sees you. And He still wants to do something with you because already you have heard His word. His word like a seed is inside of you. And that which God has placed inside of you is going to flourish. It's going to blossom. It's going to come alive. He says, go, lift up the lad. Hold him in your hand. Why? I will make him a great nation. And this is amazing. I love these next few verses. Watch this. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Where was that well? How come she didn't see it before? You will not see the solution until you take hold of that which you have laid down to die. You will not see it. Well, I need to see it first. If I go back and take that child, I'm going to see the child die. And God says, no. I'm going to be going back to what I love that I have left to die. And God says, it's not going to die. I'm going to give you the grace to revive it. God is a God who makes wells where there were no wells. He opens your eyes to see things that you did not see before. He opens your eyes to see solutions that you did not have any idea were there. The prophet said to the woman whose sons were going to be taken into slavery, "What do you have in your house?" And she says, "I got a pot of oil." But what is that going to do? The little that you've got becomes much in the master's hand. When you obey the instruction of God, things happen. And the simple word that the Lord has placed on my heart for somebody today is this, that God sees you, He knows your situation, and He has the answer to it. And first of all, you need to go back and deal with what issues you have generated. And secondly, when you come to this level, He says, "The promise I gave to you before, I did not forget. I said this child was going to be a great nation, and that he's going to be, and that's my responsibility to bring it to pass." So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the word that God gave to you, God is taking responsibility for to bring it to pass. He's made his commitment. And he knew about all of your failures and all of your shenanigans before he made you that commitment. He will show himself strong on your behalf. So, but Pastor, I blew it. And God says, "I knew it. And I know it. But I made a promise. And I keep my word." And he's going to keep his word with you. But after he keeps his word, does that mean that everything is now okay? I can do whatever it is I want to do, whenever I want to do it, however I want to do it? No. You see, because it is easy for God to deal with stuff, but your eternal soul, that's a different matter. Yeah. Providing for you, meeting your needs. He does that for good and for the bad. He says, "I cause my rain to fall on the good and the bad." Yeah. You know what? God might even bless you even though you are not sowing and reaping. You know why? Because he says, look at the birds. They neither sow, nor do they reap, nor do they have barns, but I take care of them. It's a commitment of God. But what about your eternal soul? True blessing is not in the stuff that you have. True blessing is knowing that you are connected to God and you belong to God. If I can get that thought across to you tonight, then I've accomplished the purposes of God. So, but Pastor, you're talking to me about all this stuff? Yes, all of that, that's not the issue. The real issue is your eternal soul. Whether you have that humble spirit and you follow with God. Well, I'm doing this and it's succeeding, I'm doing that and it's succeeding. Yes, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The blessing on your life is not confined to stuff, the things that you have, the houses that you own, the cars that you have, and so on and so forth, the amount of money that you have in a bank account. All of that can be blown off in one quick moment. And all of that can be restored just as quickly as they left. What happens to your soul? Let me wrap up with the next few verses, and I'll pray with you. Word of God says in 21:20, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. She was an Egyptian, to got him a wife from where she came. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, speak unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. And we stop there. This young man grew up. He started out with very little, but he's going to become a great nation. Why is that? The key is in this next verse here that we see. God is with thee in all that thou doest. In everything that you do in Abraham, God is with you. And the key is impacting the life of Ishmael. Even though he is far away, that commitment of God to Abraham was to his seed and to his seed's seed. And the blessing will always be in your life. But the greatest thing, child of God, and I complete my discourse with you tonight with this, it is not in the stuff that you've got. It is about your eternal soul. What will you do about your relationship with God? What will you do with that? That's the most important thing tonight and every night of your life. What will I do with God? Consider that. And it will be well with you. It will be well with me. See, because God sees you and God hears you. But after he's revealed himself to you, what do you do with it? You know what? Ishmael. He didn't do much with it. The Ishmaelites, which became also the Midianites, began ravaging every area, robbing everybody. They forgot that God is a God who blesses. Sure, they became a great nation, but the Ishmaelites were not known to be people of honor. Bad news. Wealthy they were, but with God, they were nothing. All the things God has done for you, will it end up being nothing? Because your eternal soul is not connected with him to live for him? What is it going to be? What's your decision? Because child of God, Right now, everything that's happening in our world is exposing what you and I are all about. People grabbing for stuff, tearing each other down. In the days to come, there are going to be people who are going to be betraying each other because they want some stuff. What will you give me to tell you a story about this person, expose this person, and so on and so forth? What is it going to be? Are you going to be real, true with God, or are you going to be about stuff? Think about that. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I know you see me. I know you see all of your people. Lord, may you see the purity of holiness and worship, true honor. May we not be just in between. May our hands be lifted up in true worship and adoration, and our lifestyle be a lifestyle of true holiness. Lord God Almighty, today I pray that you, the God who heals, delivers, and sets free, will do extraordinary things in all of our lives, and that this will be an experience that causes, O God, to live our lives unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. We exalt you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Be hallowed in our worship. Be magnified, King of kings and Lord of lords. And may our lives testify of your faithfulness. Your promises are yes and amen. Let that which you've promised come to pass. But may we go beyond the fulfillment of the natural promises you have made to have, O God, a true relationship with you. In Jesus' name, I call it so done for me and for all of your people everywhere listening to me this very moment. God, you see us. You hear us. You remember us. You visit us. And you establish your purpose in all of our lives. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. I look forward to being with you Wednesday next as we continue in the Word of God through the book of Matthew. And as we receive the Word of the Lord and learn the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, may we experience life to the full and know the goodness of God all of our days. Be blessed and be highly favored with the Lord. Good night. Love you. Honor God with your giving. Don't forget to do that. Honor God with your giving. That is important. Amen? Relate with God for the sacrifices of your praise, worship, and adoration. Be blessed. Amen.